Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
The Irish Times Inside Business podcast in association with Davy. It's amazing what you discover when you really listen.
Hello and welcome to the Irish Times Business podcast. Now, on Monday, a range of restaurants, cafes, pubs, retailers, museums and visitor centres will reopen, having been locked down since mid-March. One of them is Teeling Whiskey in Dublin's Liberties, and I'll be talking to its founder, Jack Teeling, about life under lockdown and its plans to reopen next week. I'll also be joined by Adrian Cummins, Chief Executive of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, which has called for a €1.8 billion government bailout of the sector. It's warned that half of the country's restaurants could close because of the financial hit from COVID-19. And later in the show, we'll hear from Billy Keating of Richie's Bike Store in Swords, which reopened on May 18th. He'll be telling me about how his business has fared since reopening. But let's start with Teeling Whiskey, and I'm joined by Jack Teeling, the founder of the company. It's 5 years old. Jack, congratulations, first of all. You should be celebrating that birthday, but it's not quite worked out as you would have wanted to, I'm sure. Just tell us a little bit about life under lockdown for Teeling.
Yeah, well, we had lots of plans. This was setting up to be our record year. 5 years in operation as a visitor attraction and distillery in the city centre of Dublin. And the world came to a halt on the 12th of March, and the world's really been flipped on its head. And we've been trying our best to keep things positive and moving forward in the right direction. But the last 3 months have been very difficult, in particularly for our staff, with so much uncertainty. And, look, the challenges are out there. But we kept ourselves busy. We did a lot of virtual events, a lot of charity-based events and so forth, and tried to give back as much as we possibly could. But, you know, delighted that we're able to open our doors for visitors again come this coming Monday, and it happens to be coincides with our fifth birthday, which we celebrated virtually with staff. Look, we're excited to get back open, but it's going to be a different world. There's so many challenges out there, and literally just jumped off a call where we're talking through all the challenges and all the things that we had to do to get the distillery back open in a safe and positive way. But, you know, at the same time, try to deliver the customer service that we pride ourselves in. I think realistically, being a cultural tourist attraction in the city centre of Dublin, we're probably going to be hit harder with the reopening than anywhere else, even on the West Coast, because our overheads are so large. People don't seem to want to come into cities. We had built a lot of our business on overseas visitors as well. So you know, positive, but you know, not the world that we know or have grown accustomed to over the last 5 years.
Jack, just tell us a little bit about the financial hit from COVID, because obviously no pubs selling Teeling whiskey in Ireland and presumably abroad. No duty-free shops for you to sell your goods in, or certainly no people passing through those duty-free shops because airports have been more or less wiped out. And no visitors, obviously no tours in your distillery. So what's been the financial impact for the company?
Yeah, it's you know, everyone says, you know, alcohol sales are booming in the off trade. You guys must be making out like bandits and so forth. But that's not true in terms of, obviously, we've survived better than some other industries. But, you know, our business isn't just based on people buying alcohol in supermarkets. It's based a lot on, you know, the hospitality. It's bars, hotels, restaurants, global travel retail. You know, a lot of tourist-based purchases as well. And you know, reality is we're a global business, so we're in 70 different export markets, and this is a global issue. So it hasn't just badly affected us here in Ireland, it's badly affected us everywhere. So we really have taken a massive couple of steps backwards. We're probably back to where we were in 2016, 2017 in terms of what we're projecting for turnover. And, you know, at the moment, we're looking at our overall turnover being down between 30 and 40% year on year and dealing with the consequences of that. And you know, we're doing well. You know, that's a good result in the current environment. But for our visitor centre hospitality, obviously, we've had minimal, if any, revenue over the last few months. We have opened our cafe in the visitor centre, but it's operating at probably one tenth of its revenue, and you know, that's not taking into account all the other lost revenues from tours, tastings, bar spend, and so forth. So look, it's going to be a very challenging year, and it's still quite murky on what the year is going to end out like, unfortunately.
Okay, so that's the negative, if you like. The positive is that you will reopen on Monday. So tell us what Teeling Whiskey is going to look like when it reopens in a socially distanced way. And how are you going to operate these tours? Presumably, you're going to have to reduce the number of people who are able to take tours with you at any one time.
Yeah, well, we're lucky in that we have space. So some other visitor attractions might be in older buildings, so struggle to have physical distancing. But we base everything on giving as much space as we possibly can, and obviously we'll adapt with changes in legislation that come up as best as possible. But we're reducing the number of people on tours, we're reducing the number of tours, putting in place plenty of social distancing and procedures to ensure that we create a safe, welcoming environment without losing, you know, the Irish hospitality, Irish welcome, but doing it in a way that is, you know, hopefully dealing with people's concerns and also creating a safe environment for our staff. Is that economically viable going forward? That's a question. Are we going to be busy for the next couple of weeks? Probably not, but for us it's a start, we're looking forward to hopefully continued support and more support given these unique challenges specifically to the hospitality side of our business.
Adrian Cummins, the Restaurant Association of Ireland produced a report just a few days ago outlining the challenges facing the sector as it looks to reopen next Monday. And just wondering, maybe you can talk us through some of the unique challenges, if you like, facing restaurants and cafes in particular.
Thank you, Kieran. The restaurant industry was, like many, many sectors within hospitality, was the first and worst hit sector when COVID virus came to Ireland. The vast majority of restaurants are now closed nearly 106 days. So when we reopen, we want to reopen in a safe environment to get our customers back into restaurants. The financial hit for our industry has been phenomenal. The vast majority of restaurants are now, you know, trying to get their doors back open, with minimal support available to them. And that's why we've put together a roadmap, a plan that is fully costed for government to try and get 120,000 restaurant and cafe workers back to work, thousands of businesses back up and open in every town, village and city in this country. During the summer season, particularly in areas that are dependent on tourism, that will keep them going over the winter months. So we've looked at a specific package of measures centering around supports for our industry around the continuation of the temporary wage supplement scheme for our sector, which is vital that the government continue that for hospitality at least, and that covers restaurants, cafes, hotels, visitor attractions, bars, all parts of hospitality. We need to look at the area of grant aid and not loans for our industry. Every business doesn't want another loan on top of a loan. What they want is a grant aid. And Ireland has been behind the curve in accessing funding from Europe through the Emergency Disaster Relief Fund. Other countries like Denmark has done this, where they have tapped into it and provided grant aid to their hospitality industry. So Ireland needs to do the same and give businesses that have spent a lot of money preparing to reopen. So the average cost for a restaurant to prepare to reopen is about 25,000 to 30,000 euros. That's to put in all the fixtures, fittings, training, getting your business ready to take customers back in a safe environment and provide a safe working environment for your employees. And then we need to deal with, in our industry specifically, around rents. 90% of restaurants and cafes across the country are rented. We don't have a proper structure to around disputes, because at the moment, the turnover in what we expect will plummet in our industry to about at least about 50% of turnover. And some people are saying that their turnover will drop to about 25 and 30%. So obviously their rents that they're paying to their landlords need to reflect that. And we need to have a fast track system for arbitration so that businesses can deal with the landlords in a progressive manner and get to a resolution that is best for both parties. So there has to be burden sharing here, and the banks have to have a part to play in this, plus the government. So if your landlord has to pay a mortgage on a loan, they need to get some sort of leverage on that from the bank. So there's a lot of moving parts with regards to this crisis, and a lot of people need to step up to the plate to support us.
Adrian, I suppose some of the measures people will readily understand, like, for example, the extension of the wage subsidy scheme, maybe a break on commercial rates and movement downwards on the VAT rate. But one of the items that you mentioned was a rent subsidy. How would that work?
That works, has worked in France and has worked in other European countries, where the government would give some level of support to the landlord. The bank takes a cut on the rent, and then obviously that is transferred onto the tenant, so that the tenant is paying a reduced rent. So everybody is part of this solution. The problem that we have is we don't have a mechanism or a structure in place in Ireland to get this done. And that's where, in the programme for government, there is a forum where all landlords, banks, tenants come around the table to come up with a universal structure that can be rolled out. Now, we had this issue back in the last recession. It was called upward only rent reviews, and we got over that. So where there's a will, there's a way. So I give a very simple analogy around where government needs to move to and very, very fast. If our government doesn't move on this, you'll see a tsunami of closures, which will have everybody gets burned. The taxpayer will have to foot the unemployment bill. Landlords lose their rent, and then banks are burnt as well. So everybody needs to move on this very, very fast.
It just sounds to me, though, I mean, some people might interpret it as a bit of a break for landlords, a government bailout for landlords, particularly big institutions like Hammerson.
No, I don't see that at all, Kieran. Where I see is that landlords have to reduce as well, and everybody has to play their part. So, and that's where the mechanism, I believe, has to be around your turnover. Where your turnover has collapsed, obviously rents has to come down in line with that. And I think that we're in the new norm now, in an emergency economic environment. This is different to the last crisis, which was specifically around banks. This is around the entire economy and every part of the economy. And it's not just hospitality, it's retail as well. It's all elements of the economy where a lot of sectors just are on their knees and don't have the liquidity to pay back loans and pay rents. That's where we are at the moment. I think if you look at where we nationalised the private hospitals overnight, I believe there's a will, there should be a way to get things done very, very fast.
Okay. Jack Taylor, what kind of costs involved for you guys in terms of the reopening?
Yeah, it's substantial because of the screens, the extra training, the extra safety statements. We make hand sanitizer, so luckily we don't have the cost around that. But it's substantial. Just even signage and so forth, like literally going through all the different variables and the complexity that actually has been brought into your business to try and deal with the required social distancing and creating that safe environment for your customers and your staff. It's, I would say, 2025 is probably fair in terms of the overall cost of what we've done. And we're not even sure if that's sufficient. And we'll, you know, that's what we're starting. And when we're a little bit, it's not going to be busy. But if things get hopefully a little bit busier, there's going to be extra cost involved in there. But it's the whole retraining of staff as well. Understanding from our perspective, actually, how much staff can we afford, even with the government supports, and planning that out. It's like staring into mud. It's so unclear. There's so many uncertainties, it's very hard to move forward with a lot of confidence in the current environment, unfortunately.
Jack, how can people be sure that if they take a tour of Teeling Distillery and the Liberties, that they won't end up catching COVID?
Well, I don't think anyone can actually guarantee you that, but we put in place a substantial number of procedures in terms of testing our staff to start off with, but also sanitization of the distillery on an ongoing basis. Because of our extra space, we are providing the maximum amount of social distancing that we can. So in most places, it's over 2 meters in the short term, until we get extra guidance on that. Ensuring that it's a continual cleaning and hand sanitization basis for all visitors and for all our staff. So we followed every procedure guideline that has been communicated to us from the WHO to Fáilte Ireland to the FSAI to IBEC and so forth. So we're doing everything that we're doing and as much extra we can think of ourselves to ensure that we create that environment. But at the same time, you want to give someone a reason to go. So you don't want to go into somewhere where they're not going to get entertainment or they're not going to be able to have an enjoyable experience. At the core, safety, that's the minimum. So everything's changed, so that's the minimum now. But we also have to ensure that the experience delivers something that people will want to go and in their minds to take a risk to do so. But as you said, we are putting in place multi-layer procedures to ensure we create a safe and hopefully entertaining environment for people to come and experience a real operational distillery.
Okay. Now, it doesn't look as if we're going to have much by way of tourists for the remainder of this year, and it's going to be a bit of a struggle, I think, even next year. That's certainly what the airlines seem to be indicating. So without tourists, Jack, or without many tourists knocking about, shall we say, how does Teeling Distillery fare in that scenario? I mean, is there enough demand, for example, in the domestic market to keep the distillery busy?
You want the honest answer? I hope so. I think we're going to struggle, and we're hoping that people will support local businesses and that they'll feel comfortable to come into a city centre location to do so. I think it will take some while before people come in troves. Our business has been based over the last 4 years. First year, we got a lot of support domestically as we reopened and people came to experience it. We're hoping for something similar in the short term. But, we would have, I'd say, 85 to 90% of our visitors would be overseas visitors. People coming to Dublin on a short weekend or, using Dublin as a base before they experience the rest of Ireland and, being brought on the Dublin buses, the hop-on, hop-offs, which, as far as I'm aware, the Dublin bus, Dublin, is not going to be in operation for the rest of this year. The red bus, the big bus, is going to come back, some stage in August. That's the current guideline. So it's going to be hard for people to get to us to start off with. So it's going to be a very challenging situation. And again, if I was looking at a Verity, it's our brand home, so it's important for our brand. But I was looking at it literally as a standalone business. you'd be very concerned that it would be able to wash its face, let alone, survive if we only had to rely on domestic business for the foreseeable future.
Adrian, the restaurants are opening on Monday. There's going to be a lot of nervousness, I would have thought, among certain sections of the population about stepping out into a restaurant or a cafe, at least in the short term. What do you think consumer sentiment will be like?
Well, we've seen consumer research already that shows that 60% of the population would like to go to a restaurant. That's very encouraging for us. We're actually just behind a garden centre as a sector, as being the most safest venue to go to. We have our own challenges to increase that perception among the wider population. And I think people will want, there's going to be a lot of caution with the public over the next weeks and months ahead. And then there will be climatization, where people will find the new norm and the new level and get used to your experience will be. So if you look at while retail was open right through this, our grocery retail was open right through this crisis, people found their new norm, their new level going to the supermarket. I think the same will be for restaurants, where people will come in and get used to what will be required. You won't have, menus that will be handed around at tables. You'll have a lot of hand sanitization provision within the restaurant. You will see where, pre-booking is going to be the new norm. People will need to go online, find their restaurant, book their slot, book their time. All of that type of acclimatization and customization for our customer experience over the next number of weeks and months ahead.
Yeah. Jack, will people be required to wear face masks going into the distillery?
No, we will have staff in certain areas having it. We will have them there available if people want to use them. There's hand sanitization stations spread throughout the distillery, which will be operated by their feet and so forth. So we feel that we have the space and the steps in place that it's not essential. So we won't have people, on top of each other or within the below the guidance that would require a face mask. But if people want to and more comfortable to do it, then definitely so it's not as tight for people, like, as for example in a shopping center, won't have as many people in the building at any one time. As I said, we're lucky because being a new distillery, we have a new build facility, so it's quite spacious, and we're reducing the number of people in at any one time. So tours used to be up to 25 people, now they're going to be limited to 10. So extra space, and we've laid it out in terms of pods for groups or couples or individuals that are there to ensure maximum amount of space. And reality wise, there probably won't be full, so there'll be even less again. So we feel that we have that added a benefit of space to allow people to go to wear a face mask if they feel comfortable, but it's not essential from our interpretation of what creates a safe environment.
Okay, Adrian, what's the guidance across the restaurant sector on face masks?
There's no requirement for face masks for front of house. There is guidance for personal protective equipment within the kitchen. And that's norm, because what we do best in restaurants, and we have done so, is provide top quality food safety for the last 30, 40, 50 years within our industry. And so we do that. We're best in class in Europe around food safety. So this is nothing new to us. We're well capable to roll it out. And I think a lot of people just want to get their doors open and get their customers in the door and get back to some sort of normality. And I think that we will get to a normality. What that will be like from a number of customers coming in our doors, we don't know yet. We are going into difficult times, Kieran. So I think people need to, there's a lot of worried restaurateurs out there. They just want to get their doors open.
And I think this is an acceptance that the 2 meters social distancing in the long term, anyway, that certainly won't work for restaurants in terms of economics. But what about 1 meter? Might that work?
Well, we were the first trade association to come out and look for the 1 meter. We went against the advice of everybody to step up and call it out. And then everybody said, yeah, it's right. From an economics point of view, we're still providing a WHO, World Health Organization, 1 meter social distancing guideline. It's there. Every other European country now has followed suit. And we were following, actually, Austria, the Nordics, a lot of these conservative countries that have top quality food service. And we wanted to be treated exactly the same as them. So we are in a space where our capacity is down about 25% on the day that we open our doors, but at least it's better than when we were 2 meter social distancing, when you were reduced by 75%. So this is a massive plus for our industry. It gives us a fighting chance, and if we can get more support from the government, it'll help those businesses try and keep their doors permanently opened.
Okay, and Adrian, as the head of the restaurants body here in Ireland, you know you have to lead by example. Everybody will expect to see you out and about in restaurants and cafes every day. So have you decided where you're going on Monday?
I've chosen where I'm going on Monday, but I have a lot of members to keep happy. So if I say one restaurant over another, I can see myself getting into a lot of hot water. But I am looking forward to getting out and about and meeting those business owners who have, you know, they've gone through 3 months of torture, and has been a tough for every business owner, whether you're in the restaurant industry, whether you're in retail, whatever. It has been tough. And what we want to do is get back to business. And we want to, and in our sector, we want to provide great food and great customer service.
All right. Well, let's hope that happens on Monday and that plenty of people come through the doors of restaurants and cafes around Ireland. Now, Jack Tailing, we wish you well in your plans to reopen. Hopefully the tourists will come back sometime soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ciarán.
At Davy, we know uncharted territory can be a challenge. We've been in business since 1926. And since then, we've advised many different clients through many global and national crises. Some will seek comfort in the safe and familiar, while others will embrace the opportunity to try something new. Throughout the years, we've not only listened to our clients, we've got to know you personally, helping us advise you on a financial life plan that suits you best. Davy, it's not just business, it's personal. Janie Davy, trading as Davy, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. We take our responsibilities personally.
Now, I'm joined on the line by Billy Keating, manager of Richie's Bike Store in Swords. It reopened on May 18th in the first wave of reopening under the government's roadmap for reopening the economy following the lockdown. Billy, you're very welcome to Inside Business. We featured you in the paper around that time, and you were expecting the first day of business, or that first week of business, if you like, to be really busy, to be a bit like Christmas time. So how did it fare out for you?
Exactly as predicted, absolutely manic, and has remained the same ever since.
And the word on the street, if you like, is that you can't get a bike for love nor money. Is that your experience as well?
Some bikes are starting to come back to us, but yeah, there's still a huge shortage on everything.
So Billy, maybe just tell us a little bit about that first day of opening on May 18th. How many people were in the shop? How many bikes did you sell?
Well, in the shop, we were restricting it to 2 customers in the shop at a time, but there was a queue of about 100, 150 metres that went up and around the corner the first day we reopened again. So it was absolute bedlam.
And how much trade did you actually do that day?
It would have been about 4 to 5 times a standard day. Although saying that, it was a Monday, so it would have been about 10 times your average Monday.
Right, okay. And you had stock, you had bikes to sell.
We had some to sell, yeah. Not a huge amount, but we did have some, yeah.
And how has demand been since then? Because obviously there's a big push now on to get people to cycle to work or to walk to work and to avoid public transport. So how is that manifesting itself in terms of demand?
Yeah, well, demand is still outstripping supply quite substantially, but saying that, stock is starting to come back. The issue was more with China, because all the bicycles or their bits are manufactured in China, and China's locked their manufacturing for so long. So they were out of action for about 4 or 5 months. And that's why there's a huge shortfall on the floor in Ireland, with everyone looking for bikes and only some capable of getting them.
And Billy, have people been wearing masks into the shop? Are you requiring to wear
about
masks?
About a 50% ratio, yeah. About 50% are, 50% aren't.
Right, okay. What's your bestseller been?
Oh, there's nothing. It's across the board. Everything. Everything from children's bikes to racing bikes are bloody hard to get, and everyone wants whatever they can put their hands on.
Right. And you're more than a month into the reopening now. So is demand beginning to ease off a bit?
No. It's still remained around about the same as where it is. And it's purely because people weren't able to get bikes the first time around.
Right. Okay. And Billy, have you had to hire extra staff to cope with this demand?
We've had a couple of extra part-timers in. Outside of that, though, no, we didn't really need to because we were two customers in the shop at a time. We were able to kind of operate it with what we had.
Okay. Is it still two customers at a time?
At the moment, we're up to about three because we're able to distance them a little bit better. It's still very limited.
And I presume you have to go through a whole sanitization regime. Are you wiping down bikes after customers come in every time?
Absolutely.
You know, has a feel or a look at the bike?
Wipes down, a credit card machine gets wiped down about 15 times a day. All the door handles everywhere get wiped down. Any surface that any customer is going to get touched gets cleaned several times over every day.
Okay, well, it sounds like a positive experience from your point of view. I mean, obviously, the shop must have been badly hit by the lockdown, but are you positive about the future?
Yeah. I don't see a big issue, with the exception of distancing. We just need to maintain the distancing, and it all seems to work out all right.
Okay, great. Well, Billy Keating, continued success. I hope the people of Swords continue to flock and buy bikes from you, and perhaps we'll get you on later in the year just to see how things have panned out for you. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, that's it for this week from Inside Business. My thanks to Jack Thielen, Adrian Cummins and Billy Keating for their contributions. Thanks also to our sponsor, Davy Group, for its continued support. Suzanne Brennan produced the show with JJ Vernon as sound engineer. Remember, you can get the latest business news straight into your inbox by signing up to our Business Today email at irishtimes.com, and you can also follow the Irish Times business feed on Twitter and Facebook each day. I'm Ciarán Hancock. Until next time, take care and stay safe.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.